No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. Bhajan of Kabir Sahib on page 137. Oh man, don't be saying mine, mine. There's no guarantee of breaths. Your life is as fragile as sugar candy thrown into water. Oh man, don't be so full of ego. Death is on your head. One day, you fool, you may even drown without water. You're wearing dust, you dress in dust, even your pillow is dust. One day, madman, your body will return to dust. As long as oil and wick are in the lamp, the light gets brighter and brighter. When both are finished, the dead body is carried to the graveyard. What is the use of stitching the old clothes again and again? No one is the friend of the heart. All have selfish motives. No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. Bhajan of Kabir Sahib on page 137.
अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी ना कर बंदे मेरी मेरी तमदा की परवासा ना कर बंदे जीवना तेरा ऐसा जैसा पानी विच पतासा अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी ना कर बंदे खुदीत काबर सिर पे मात नी मानी ना कर बंदे खुदीत काबर सिर पे मात नी मानी एक दिन पगले ऐसा आये तू डूबे बिन पानी अपना कोई है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी माति ओदना माति पहनना माति का सिरहाना जी माति ओदना माति पहनना माति का सिरहाना जी एक दिन पगले ऐसा आये माति में मिल जाना जी अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी जब तक तेल दीप में बाती जगमग जगमग हो रही जब तक तेल दीप में बाती जगमग जगमग हो रही जय गल तेल निकुत गई बाती लश शिवयां को तो लाई अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी पाता चोला हुआ पुराना कब लग सीवे दर पाता चोला हुआ पुराना कब लग सी वे दर्जी दिल का मेहरम कोई न मिलिया सब मतलब के घर जी अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी अपना कोई नहीं है जी कि अपना सतगुरु प्यारा जी
No one in this world belongs to us except our dearly beloved Satguru. That bhajan, by the way, was number one. That was the first bhajan we learned when we were in India in May 1976, my second trip to Sanchi, but it was this time I took a number of people with me, including Judith and Eric. And there were some other people from Santpani Ashram, Susan Diamond and Susan Shannon were there also, and a number of other people. We had satsang every night, no translation, but we used to hear the villagers singing the bhajans. One night, I was surprised to see Eric, my son, who at that time was 14 years old, singing this bhajan, Apanako Inayine. And Sanchi was very pleased, and the next day at our darshan, when we were all gathered at his feet, he said that it was very, very good that Eric had learned that, and that we should all learn bhajans, starting with that one. That's how it all began. Of course, Master Kripal had told me in 1969 that it would be a very helpful thing to sing the bhajans at satsang, but for one reason or another, it was very difficult to make that happen then. So we were reading from Master Kripal's seminal discourse on Simran, the sweet remembrance of God, which was issued on his birthday in 1954, and was the first birthday message, I think, that he ever issued. And the part that we read last time, as mostly, in fact, was entirely about the sound current. He doesn't mention Simran at all. Now he recapitulates a little bit some of what he said, but not much. Most of it, of what he now gets into, is more practical, how to do it. And this leads directly into the practice of Simran, as you will see. And you'll see how the two practices that we sometimes think of as separate, bhajan and simran, are actually one. So, the Master Saint Shamas Tabriz says, "The great God has turned us out and closed strongly the door behind the eyes. He himself comes to us in the garb of a man to take us back into his fold. The method by which he lets us in once again is explained further. First, one has to withdraw into the silence of the soul before he begins to hear the five strains of music. The sensory current is to be withdrawn at the seat of the soul behind the eyebrows. The journey onward begins from this stage, the seventh in the order from below. When the soul rises above the six chakras or ganglions in the pind, or physical body, and starts towards Sahasral Kamal, the thousand-petaled lotus, the seventh stage, she catches the first of the five strains of the divine music and proceeds further. There is no nam in the lower six chakras. These, in fact, are the grave, from which we have to rise above and come to the point from where the grand trunk road of spirituality begins." Another saint says, "At the seventh stage you begin to hear the five strains of the divine music. When you remove the tent of the soul from the graveyard of the body, comprising the six lower chakras, from here heavenly music takes charge of the soul and pulls it up from stage to stage until the final consummation with Sat Purush or Sat Nam takes place. And the masters have explained in different places that the six lower chakras, which are the way in which the astral energy and higher energy mingles with our body and gives it life, that those six chakras are actually reflections of six higher chakras, beginning the seventh through the twelfth, the seventh of which is the third eye. It's actually just above the third eye, what we call the sixth chakra, and it is the entryway into the astral plane. The next six chakras are all located in our forehead, and they are in turn are reflections of six higher chakras which lead to the absolute. So, and those we call inner planes are actually reflected in those chakras. Almost all the saints have given the same qualifications of a true master. Guru Arjan says, accept that man as a guru who can give you an experience of the truth, the Nam. That is indescribable, no doubt, but we must have some contact thereof. In short, whoever can tune us into the Shabad, the divine music. Kabir also speaks in the same terms. We have so many sadhus, the great ones. I have respect for all of them. But the one who is one with the word and can give us a contact with that, he overtops all, and I have the greatest regard for him. Swami Shivdayal Singhji also speaks in the same way. Guru is he who has love of Shabad and practices no other methods except that. Whoever practices Shabad is the perfect guru. You sit at his feet, who will give you a contact with it. He who is word personified, who has word made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and can give us a contact with that, is held in high esteem by all saints. The holy scriptures all speak in volumes of their greatness. It is through the grace of God alone that a jiva, an embodied soul, comes across such a master soul or guide who is well versed in the science of Surat Shabad Yoga. The master, in extreme compassion, takes him into his fold and links him up with the sound current, and thereby puts him on the path of final liberation. Guru Nanak says that he is an admirer of the man who reaches his true home in this way. The course of Surat Shabad Yoga, as described by Guru Nanak, is the most natural one. It can be practiced by man or woman, young or old alike. Even a child can practice it with ease. It is designed by God himself and not by any human agency, and therefore it admits of no addition, alteration, or modification. It is God's law that nobody can reach him except through a master soul. This is what is given out by almost all the saints who came so far. The master teaches us how to withdraw from the body and contact the sound current, the word within. There are so many ways to withdraw from the body, but the one devised by the saints is the most natural and quickest, and that is achieved through Simran, or repetition of the names of God. So I'd like to just give in detail something about this subject, which is very important and is the first step toward going up. As far as the word or Nam is concerned, I have already given a talk separately. I will now speak on Simran. Everyone in the world is doing Simran of one kind or another. In fact, no one can do without it. A housewife, for instance, is thinking all the while of the kitchen requirements like flour, pulses, spices, and pepper. Lest any of these things run short, she is thinking of recipes for new dishes and delicacies. Similarly, a farmer is always thinking of plowing the land, furrowing the fields, sowing the seeds and harvesting and the like, besides his cattle and fodder. A shopkeeper is preoccupied with his stock in trade and keenly alive to rise and fall in the prices of commodities he deals in and how he can make huge profits in his business. A schoolmaster likewise dreams of his school, classes, pupils, and lessons, on all of which his attention is closely riveted. Again, a contractor is engrossed in problems of labor, material, and various building processes. Thus, every one of us is constantly dwelling on one thing or another. This close association leaves an imprint in the human mind, which in course of time becomes indelible enough and leads to complete identification of the subject with the object. And hence it is said, as you think, so you become. Or where the mind is, there you are also, no matter where the physical self is. This being the case, saints take hold of a person from the line of least resistance. As no one can do without Simran, the saints try to set one type of Simran for another type. They substitute for Simran of the world and worldly relations and objects a Simran of God's name or word. As the former leads to distraction of the mind, the latter pulls heavenward, leading to peace of mind and liberation of the soul. 3 to 4 hours in a day has been enjoined as the minimum for Simran, and it may be gradually increased. The Mahatmas are never without Simran even for a single moment, as it is altogether a mental process, for it is to be done by the tongue of thought. No amount of physical and manual labor can interfere with it. In course of time, like the tick of a clock, it becomes automatic and ceaseless for all the 24 hours. While the hands are engaged in work, the mind rests in the Lord. I now give you some details of recipes prescribed for doing Simran, or repetition of the name of God. All persons are engaged in the doing of Simran in one form or another. Some do Simran by means of a beaded string called a rosary. In this type of Simran, one cannot maintain undivided attention, for while doing it, one has to roll off the beads with his fingers and reverse the head knot on completion of each round of the rosary. In this way, one cannot have single-minded devotion, without which there can be no gain. By constant practice, the fingers automatically roll over the beads, while the unbridled mind keeps wandering astray. This is why Master Souls always lay emphasis on mental Simran, or one that is done with a tongue of thought. For Simran done with concentrated attention alone is beneficial. Again, there are persons who do Simran with their tongue. This type of Simran, too, is no better than that done with the help of the rosary. In this type also, the tongue wags on in the mouth, while the mind runs riot all the time. Some do Simran at the seat of the thyroid gland. This as well does not count for much unless it is done with the attention fully riveted to it. Still others do Simran at the seat of the heart, in unison with the constant heartbeat. But here again, the sine qua non is wholehearted attention before one can expect any benefit from it. Another type of Simran is one that is done with the breath vibration of the vital air as it goes in and comes out. It gives just temporary stillness and is of little value. Each of the above sadhanas or practices has more efficacy in ascending order than the one preceding, but none of them per se is efficacious enough unless it is done with undivided attention. A person may experience a little calm for a while, but it cannot help the spirit in withdrawal and concentration at the seat of the soul, just behind the center of the two eyebrows. The Master Souls in all times and in all climes have therefore gone to the very root of the thing, the discovery of the self, called Atma Siddhi, the experience of the changeless one, beyond time, space, and causation, something subtler, higher, nobler, purer, and more powerful in the entire creation, and have enjoined Simran of the highest order, one done mentally on the divine ground, before the threshold of God's own door, about which Christ says, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto thee." Again, the Gospel says with regard to single-minded attention, "If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be filled with light." This eye is called in Sanskrit a Shiv Netra or Dev Drishti. The Muslims describe it as Nukta Isveda. William Wordsworth, a great romantic poet, refers to it as an inward eye. Muslim saints classify Simran or Zikr into five categories. 1. Zikr ilasani, or Zikr done with a tongue. It is also called Kalma ishariat or Nasut. 2. Zikr ikalbi, done with kalb or at the seat of the heart by the process of habasidam, pranayam, or control of the breath. It is technically called Kalma itarikat or Malkut. 3. Zikr irui, done with full attention and known as Kalma imarifat or Jabrut. 4. Zikr isiri, that leads to the inner secret of reality. It is named Kalma ihakikat or Lahut. 5. Lastly, Zikri Kafi, or one that unlocks the secret door. It is called Hahut. Maulana Rumi, a Muslim saint, while speaking of Zikr or Simran, therefore considers such Zikr alone of the highest type as helps in manifesting the reality within, namely Zikri Rui as opposed to Zikri Lasani. Similarly, Rishi Sandilya in his Upanishad tells us that Bakri Simran, done with the tongue, is quite good, but Upasu, done with the breath slowly, is better still, while Manski, done mentally with the tongue of thought, is the best and tops all the rest. And of course, Master goes into the details of, in this case, the Muslim teaching on this subject, to indicate how universal this idea of Simran is. And in Christianity also, in the Orthodox tradition of the East, Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, as exemplified in the great monastery of Mount Athos, the practice of, I forgot the name, of interior prayer, it's so weird, constant repetition of a prayer. Usually, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me," which is done 3,000, 4,000, 6,000 times a day until it becomes automatic. The seat of Simran. Now we have to see the hesychast method of prayer. Very controversial. In the West, it was not liked, but the East, it does it. It's considered one of the highest practices. And books have been written comparing it with practice of yoga. The seat of Simran. Now we have to see where the repetition of Nam is to be done. The divine ground on which Simran should be done is the center between the two eyebrows, called variously as third eye, Tisra Til, Shiv Netra, or Nukta Isveda. It is the gateway leading to the subtle planes. In the state of wakefulness, it is the seat of the spirit or psyche, and it is located above the six physical ganglions. Oftentimes, this center is called the sixth chakra. And here Master is saying it's the seventh chakra, and the reason for the confusion in that is that it's just above it. So from our point of view, if we concentrate on what seems to be the sixth chakra, we are as close as we can get to the seventh until the Master pulls us up. In the state of wakefulness, it is the seat of the spirit or psyche, and it is located above the six physical ganglions. We have to transcend both the astral and causal planes above the physical plane. The yogis step by step cross over the six physical centers until they finally and completely traverse and go over the physical plane. Instead of descending down into the lower ganglions and then going up by piercing them through in the upward journey, it would be easier and better by far if one were to commence the journey right ahead from the seat of the soul in the wakeful state, which is at the back of the two eyes. The easiest way to withdraw the spirit from the body to its own seat is by means of some mental simran, as may be enjoined by the Master Soul. The basic names of God. Let us now see what simran is and what the relation is between the name and named. For simran, there are two kinds of names, original and derivative. Generally, people engage in simran of one or another of the derivative or attributive names of God, as may have an appeal to the individual concerned. This may be good and useful to a certain extent, but it cannot work as an open sesame to the higher and spiritual planes within. Master souls always do and recommend simran of the highest type, to wit, of the original or basic names of God, for these open up charmed casements and bring to view vistas leading to spiritual realms within the body. Such names are charged with and electrified by the thought transference that usually accompanies them when communicated to an aspirant by a master soul. As these are magnetized, they have the power to attract and pull the spirit up to the planes to which they relate. The engrafted words charged with the divine spirit of the Master very soon bear fruit. Christ in this connection says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches, and as branches cannot do without the vine, ye cannot do without me. Let you abide in me, and my words abide in you." Again, these charmed words of the Master, basic names of God, have the power to dispel the forces of darkness that may meet and assail a spirit on its onward journey. Simran of these names helps the soul, both in the physical plane and superphysical planes, one after the other. Hence it is imperative that simran be done of such names as the Master Soul enjoins, for they are charged with a tremendous spiritual power, which negative powers can hardly put up with, and from which they flee as from an enchanter driven. Immortal and everlasting as these words of the Master are, they bestow life everlasting to the soul in which they sink and take root. Death cannot come near such a soul. This is why it is said, "Take not God's name in vain." Every name has its own significance, influence, energy, and power. If one thinks of ice, he is reminded of the bleak cold and the shivers it brings. The thought of fire puts into mind its attribute of heat and warmth. The word lawyer is suggestive of courts and cases, and doctor at once conjures up pictures of hospitals, patients, and medicine chests, etc. It is a common saying, as you think, so you become. Thought is said to be the keynote to success. There is always a strong link between a name and the named, and much greater and stronger is this link between God and his names. It may be said that God himself resides and dwells in his own names, basic and original, and not derivative or attributive. Simran of the basic names of God has an inevitable influence on the mind. It leads to dhyan, making the spirit forgetful of the world and worldly objects. In meditation, nothing but concentrated simran remains, and from the great and deep silence of the heart, Hride Kamal of the saints, that is, the divine ground behind the eyebrows. There issues forth a ceaseless sound current, which helps in pulling the spirit up, leading to the withdrawal from the body, without, of course, breaking the silver cord, and guides the spirit in its onward journey into various spirit realms. The luminous form of the Master always remains with the spirit, helping and guiding it at every step. This sound principle is the link between God and man, and in this way an indissoluble bond and relationship is established between the Creator and His creation. This sound current is variously described by various sages. The Vedas speak of it as Shruti, that which is heard. The Upanishads describe it as Nad or Udgit, song of the other world. The Muslims call it Bange Asmani or Kalma. In Gurbani we have references to Shabad, and in the Gospel it is mentioned as the Word. The Zoroastrians call it Sarosha, and the French have given it the name of Elan Vital, or life current. Once the consciousness takes root in this sound principle, or voice of the silence, life everlasting is assured to the spirit. There is no other way to God than this, and it can only be reached by means of Simran, of God's names. Knock and it shall be opened unto thee, is what the Gospel preached. Emerson calls it tapping inside. This knocking and tapping is possible only when through Simran the mind is stilled and the spirit is withdrawn and concentrated before the very door of God. This then is the way, as ordained by God himself, but no one can find it without the grace of the Master Soul, an adept in the science of spirituality, not only in theory like Yajnavalkya, but in practice as well like Ashtavakra, one who has transcended all the planes, physical, subtle, causal, and beyond, and holds a commission from God to lead other souls to him. How to do Simran? For Simran, one has to adopt some convenient posture and then fix his attention on the divine ground between the eyebrows. Simran is entirely a mental process and is to be done mentally with the tongue of thought, while the gazing faculty is to be fixed at the spot behind the two eyebrows as said above. The words as given by the Master may slowly be repeated mentally or with the tongue of thought. It should be done without causing any strain or pressure on the forehead. The practice may be started with a half hour or so as may be convenient, but in course of time it should be developed to 2 or 3 hours a day, or even longer. Simran of the divine names introverts the mind and weans it from worldly thoughts and mundane matters until it gets stilled and is equipoised. Some do Simran with closed eyes and others with open eyes. The first in some cases sinks into drowsiness, leading to what may be called yog nidra, or yogic sleep, which is the kind of sleep that happens when we fall asleep during meditation. And the second, in some cases, keeps the mind engaged on environments. One has, therefore, to guard against both pitfalls. Simran with closed eyes is preferable, provided one retains full consciousness. It must be done regularly every day at a fixed time. Hafiz, Sufi poet of Persia, says the only job is to pray, unmindful of whether it is accepted or not. This means you have to remember the Lord internally without any clutching to receive one thing or the other. We have to leave everything to Lord or Master working overhead. Just as we need food for the body, so do we need food for the soul. We are careful, very careful, in giving food to the horse of the body, but starve the rider, the spirit, the life-giving fountainhead that enlivens the body, and without which it has no value. We must provide food to spirit more regularly than we do for the body, no matter where we are, whether at home or abroad, and no matter what the circumstances may be. This should be our first and foremost concern. The Simran of Nam or Word is an elixir of life, and in fact a panacea, or healing, for all ills, physical, mental, accidental, or ordained. It is a food for the spirit, and when the spirit is strong and healthy, it will charge the body with vital currents of life and light, dispelling all darkness from head to foot. It is the bread of life spoken of by Christ when he declared, "You cannot live on bread alone, but you can live on the name of God alone." Simran and Dhyan, meditation, flood the spirit with the waters of life. Spirit comes to its own, rises in its latent godhood, and like a tumultuous mountain stream, rushes headlong toward the ocean of life, which is its perennial source, and merges therein, losing its separate identity. There are no limitations as to time and place for Simran. It may be done at any time and at any place, sitting or standing, walking or in bed, but it must be done in a state of conscious wakefulness. Early morning hours, Amrit Vela, is the best time for Simran. A light and frugal night meal consisting of milk and fruits and morning ablutions are aids in the right direction. Purity of thoughts, words, and deeds go a long way to make success of the sadhana, the spiritual discipline, for ethical life precedes spiritual life and is in fact the very ground on which the spiritual structure has to be raised. For a householder, it is very necessary to observe strict discipline in life in matters of diet, drink, and speech. Again, Simran must be done slowly, and the words are to be repeated or thought out with clarity. The whole process is to be carried out with love, devotion, and single-minded attention to ensure quick results. When properly done for some time, a state of divine intoxication comes upon the spirit, and blessed calmness is experienced. All worldly thoughts vanish like thin air, and the spirit feels freed from the bodily tenements and is irresistibly drawn upward by the unseen power of the Master. When it thus withdraws from the sensual planes, it gets concentrated at its own seat. The inner light dawns, and one by one spiritual experiences, like the starry welkin, the moon, and the sun, unfold themselves. One comes across frequent references to these things in all the scriptures, both ancient and modern, like the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Holy Quran, the Gurbani, the Gospel, etc. The prophets Muhammad and Moses speak of the various inner lights. In the Bible, there are repeated references to the thunder and lightning in connection with the voice of God as it spoke to the prophets. As the spirit crosses over these initial stages and lands in the subtle plane, the luminous form of the Master appears, takes charge of the soul, and leads it on the onward spiritual journey from plane to plane. With the advent of the Master, the work of Simran is completed, and the aspirant soul lies wholly in the hands of the Master Soul. Guru Arjan, the fifth guru of the Sikhs, has given a glowing account of the results which one can have by doing the sweet remembrance of the word. He impresses on us to remember him all the time in the words as used by the saints in the past. There are so many names of the one reality, and our aim and goal is common. We have to start from the name and contact with the named. Unless you contact the named, you cannot derive the full benefit of the words repeated by you. For instance, you say water in English, aqua in Latin, pani and ab in Urdu and Persian, jal and nir in Hindi, but by repetition of these names alone, your thirst cannot be satisfied. It is only by drinking the particular fluid, which is called by so many names, that your thirst is appeased. By doing Simran of the world and its environments, they have so much taken possession of us that we have become the world and its environments. We have to use the same methods so as to eliminate all the worldly thoughts from within by remembering sweetly of the Lord in the words devised by the saints so far. So there are two uses of Simran. One use is to withdraw from the body by Simran of the electrified words given by a competent master. And the second is to drive out the world and its thoughts from within us by the constant remembrance of the Lord in so many ways as prescribed, the description of which has been given above in detail. And he continues on with a commentary on what Kabir has written on Simran, which we will read next week.
ਕਰਨ ਵਾਲਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸ਼ੱਕ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਗਾ, ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਹੀ ਅੰਦਰਲਾ ਮਾਰਗ ਕਿਤਾਬ ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਖੁੱਲ੍ਹ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਭਜਨ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ, ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਕਹਿਣ ਦੇ ਆਪਣਾ ਜੀਵਨ ਪਵਿੱਤਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਬਣਾਉਂਦੇ ਗੇ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਚਿਕਰ ਮਨ ਕੀ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਈ ਕਿਸਮ ਦੇ ਸਵਾਲ ਸ਼ੱਕ ਸ਼ਕੂਕ ਪੈਦਾ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਅੰਦਰ ਨਾ ਵੜ ਜਾਵੇ, ਇਹ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਨਾ ਉਠਾ ਸਕੇ, ਅਸੀਂ ਆਪਣਾ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਵੀ ਖੋ ਬਹਿੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ।
Those who do this path, they do not have any doubts in them. Because for those who do the meditation, the inner path becomes as clear as the open book, and they don't have any doubts. But those who do not do the meditation, what does mind do to them? Mind always brings the doubts in them, and they have so many questions. The only purpose of the mind's bringing all these things to the person is that he may not rise above it and he may not do the meditation, because mind does not want that anyone should go in the within and do the meditation.
So Swami Ji Maharaj Dai Shabad ਆਪ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕਰੋੜਾਂ 'ਚ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਯਤਨ ਕਰ ਲਓ, ਬਾਹਰ ਮੁਖੀ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਮਨ ਸਮਝੇਗਾ ਨਹੀਂ, ਬਸ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਏਗਾ। ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਅੰਦਰਲਾ ਰਾਗ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੀ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਸੁਣਾ ਦਿਓ, ਇਹ ਮਨ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਬਿੰਨਿਆ ਜਾਏਗਾ, ਬਸ ਵਿੱਚ ਆ ਜਾਏਗਾ।
ਸੋ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਹਿਮ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੈਂਟਡ ਇਨ ਫਰੰਟ ਆਫ ਯੂ ਇਨ ਵਿਚ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਨੋ ਮੈਟਰ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਡੂ ਮਿਲੀਅਨਸ ਆਫ ਆਊਟਰ ਪ੍ਰੈਕਟਿਸਿਸ ਰਾਈਟਸ ਐਂਡ ਰਿਚੁਅਲਸ, ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਨਾਟ ਬੀ ਏਬਲ ਟੂ ਕੰਟਰੋਲ ਯੂਰ ਮਾਈਂਡ, ਦ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਵਿਲ ਨੈਵਰ ਓਬੇ ਯੂ। Only make him listen to the inner melody, make him hear the inner divine sound, and he will come in your control, he will surrender himself to you.
Kut jatan se ye nahi mane, ton sun kar man sun jai, ਜੋਗੀ ਜੁਗਤ ਕਮਾਵੇ ਆਪਣੀ, ਗਿਆਨੀ ਗਿਆਨ ਕਰਾਈ।
ਸਾਡੇ ਇਹ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਨੌ ਦਰਬਾਰੇ ਦਰਵਾਜ਼ੇ ਹੈ, ਦੋ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਸੁਰਾਖ ਹੈ, ਦੋ ਕੰਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਹਨ, ਦੋ ਨੱਕ ਦੇ ਸੁਰਾਖ ਹੈ, ਮੂੰਹ ਹੇਠ ਦੋ ਇੰਦਰੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਸੁਰਾਖ ਹੈ, 6 ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਬੁਧਾ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਇੰਦਰੀ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਨਾਭੀ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਹਿਰਦੇ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਕੰਠ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਆਗਿਆ ਚੱਕਰ ਹੈ। ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਔਰ ਮਨ ਦੀ ਜੋ ਸੀਟ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਹੈ।
There are 9 openings or doors to this body. There are 2 holes of the eyes, 2 of nostrils, 1 of mouth, 2 of nose, 2 of ears, and 1 of mouth and 2 below. There are 6 chakras. 1 is rectum chakra, other is indri chakra, 3rd is navel chakra, and 4th is heart chakra, then throat center, and then the eye center. The seat of our mind and soul is at the eye center.
Aur inna 6 chakran de malik vi sade andar hai. Udha chakra da malik Ganesh hai, indri chakra da malik Brahma hai, nabhi chakra da malik Vishnu hai, hriday chakra da malik Shiv hai, kanth chakra da malik Shakti hai, aur oh parmatma sade dimag vich hai. ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ, ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਪਹਾੜ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੇ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ, ਉਸਨੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ, ਅਗਰ ਉੱਥੋਂ ਹੀ ਆਪਣਾ ਸਫ਼ਰ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰ ਦੇਵੇ ਤਾਂ ਉਹ ਦਾ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਟਾਈਮ ਖਰਾਬ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ, ਜਲਦੀ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਅਗਰ ਉਹ ਥੱਲੇ ਆ ਕੇ ਫਿਰ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾਏ ਕਿਤਨਾ ਵਕਤ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ, ਅਸੀਂ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਉੱਠ ਕੇ ਇਦੋਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ ਦਿਮਾਗ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ। ਔਰ ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਯੋਗੀ ਲੋਕ ਗੁਦਾ ਚੱਕਰ ਤੋਂ ਆਪਣਾ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਇੱਥੇ ਉਹ ਰੁਕ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਸਾਰੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਪਹਿਲਾ ਚੱਕਰ ਤੈਅ ਕਰਨ 'ਤੇ ਲਾ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ। ਅਗਰ ਜੇ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਪਿਛਲੇ ਜਵਾਨਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਕੋਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਕੀਤੀ ਵੀ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਧ ਸੰਦਲ ਕਮਲ ਤੱਕ ਹੀ ਪਹੁੰਚੇ, ਇੱਥੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਉਹ ਬੈਠ ਗਏ, ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਆਖਰ ਮੰਨ ਲਿਆ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਸੰਤ ਤਾਂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਹੀ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ।
The owners of all the chakras are also living within our body. The owner of the rectum chakra is Ganesh, the owner of the Indri chakra is Mahesh, and the owner of the navel center is Vishnu, the owner of the heart center is the Shiva, and Shakti is the owner of the throat center. And God Almighty resides in our brain. Master Kripal used to say that if someone is sitting in the middle of the mountain and if he has to climb the top of the mountain, it will be better for him to continue his journey from where he is sitting rather than going down and starting the journey again. In the same way, since we are residing at the eye center, the seat of our mind and soul is at the eye center, if we come down to the lower center and start our devotion from there, we will never be able to reach the top. What do the yogis do? They go down to the rectum center and start doing the devotion from there. And even after working hard for so many years, they only reach the eye center from where they should have started doing the devotion. Many yogis have done so many years of practices and they have reached only up to the eye center. And after reaching that, they have declared that this is the end. But that is not true. This is the beginning of our journey to our real home.
ਔਰ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਚੱਕਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣਾ ਜਾਪ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੀਆਂ ਰੋਸ਼ਨੀਆਂ ਹਨ। ਅਸੀਂ ਕਹਿ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਉਸ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਵੀ ਰੋਸ਼ਨੀ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਸੁਣਾਈ ਦਿੰਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਸ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਵੀ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਕਾਲ ਨੇ ਵੀ ਉਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੇ ਦੀਆਂ ਜੋਤਾਂ ਰੱਖੀਆਂ ਹੋਈਆਂ, ਆਵਾਜ਼ਾਂ ਰੱਖੀਆਂ ਹੋਈਆਂ ਹੈ। ਪੂਰੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਤੋਂ ਬਗੈਰ ਉਹ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਜੋ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਤੋਂ ਉੱਠਦੀ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਲਾਈਟ ਜੋ ਸੱਚਖੰਡੋਂ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਕਦੇ ਵੀ ਕੋਈ ਦਿਖਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦਾ, ਉਸ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਨੂੰ ਪਕੜਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦਾ ਗਾ। ਕਾਲ ਥੱਲੇ ਦਾ ਤਜਰਬਾ ਦੇ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜੀਵ ਵਿਚਾਰਾ ਲਾਚਾਰ ਹੈ, ਅੰਧਾ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕੈਸਾ ਤਜਰਬਾ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਕਿਹੜੀ ਮੈਂ ਜੋਤ ਦੇਖ ਰਿਹਾ ਹੈ। ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਵੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਅੰਤਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਸੁਰਤ ਧੁਨ ਜਾਗਾ, ਸਤਿਗੁਰ ਚਗੜਨ ਨਵੇੜਾ ਹੈ। ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਪੂਰਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਹੀ ਅੰਦਰ ਦੱਸ ਕੇ ਉਸ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਨੂੰ ਪਕੜਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹੀ ਝਗੜਾ ਖਤਮ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਅੰਦਰ ਕਿ ਬੇਟਾ ਇਧਰ ਕਾਲ ਹੈ, ਇਧਰ ਦਿਆਲ ਹੈ, ਇਸ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਨੂੰ ਪਕੜਨਾ ਹੈ, ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਪਕੜਨਾ ਗਾ।
ਆਲ ਦਿਸ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਸੈਂਟਰਸ ਹੈਵ ਦੇਅਰ ਓਨ ਲਾਈਟਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਹੈਵ ਦੇਅਰ ਓਨ ਰੈਪੀਟੀਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਦੇ ਨੇਮਸ। ਵੀ ਸਮਟਾਈਮਸ ਮੇ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਸੀਨ ਦ ਲਾਈਟ ਹੇਅਰ ਐਂਡ ਦੇਅਰ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਲਾਈਕ ਦ ਪੋਜ਼ਿਟਿਵ ਪਾਵਰ, ਨੈਗੇਟਿਵ ਪਾਵਰ ਹੈਜ਼ ਆਲਸੋ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟਡ ਮੈਨੀ ਡਿਫਰੈਂਟ ਕਾਈਂਡਸ ਆਫ ਲਾਈਟ ਇਨ ਦ ਵਿਦਿਨ, ਬਟ ਦੇ ਆਲ ਆਰ ਕਮਿੰਗ ਫਰੋਮ ਦ ਲੋਅਰ ਸੈਂਟਰਸ ਔਰ ਦ ਲੋਅਰ ਚੱਕਰਸ। ਐਂਡ ਲਾਈਕ ਦ ਲਾਈਟ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਆਲਸੋ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟਡ ਦ ਸਾਊਂਡ ਇਨ ਅਵਰ ਵਿਦਿਨ, but the real sound and the real light is coming from Sachkhand, which we can hear and see only at the eye center, and we can see that light and hear that sound current only if we have the guidance of a competent master. No matter negative power has created and manifested so many lights and sounds in our within, but unless we go to the company in the company of the perfect master, we cannot hear the real light and real sound. We the souls are innocent and ignorant. We do not know then which sound or which light we are having. Perfect Master is the only one who manifests the real light within us, and he is the only one who solves this dispute within us. Guru Nanak Sahib says that when in the within, Perfect Master manifests the real light and the real sound, only then all the disputes are solved.
The talk was given on the day before Christmas, 1983, in Rajasthan. Our closing bhajan is on page 145. Janva Bale Haraji May. I am sacrificing myself for my master. I am sacrificing myself for my master 100 times a day. He who changed the man into God did not take much time to do so. If hundreds of moons rise and thousands of suns, even then, it is all darkness without the Master. I am sacrificing myself for my Master. Bhajan of Guru Nanak on page 145.
ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਬਲਿਹਾਰੀ ਗੁਰ ਆਪਣੇ, ਬਲਿਹਾਰੀ ਗੁਰ ਆਪਣੇ, ਦਿਉਹਾੜੀ ਸਦਵਾਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਿਨ ਮਾਨਸ ਤੇ ਦੇਵ ਤੇ ਕੀਏ, ਜਿਨ ਮਾਨਸ ਤੇ ਦੇਵ ਤੇ ਕੀਏ, ਕਰਤ ਨ ਲਾਗੀ ਵਾਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜੇ ਸੋ ਚੰਦਾ ਉਗ ਵਹਿ, ਜੇ ਸੋ ਚੰਦਾ ਉਗ ਵਹਿ, ਸੂਰਜ ਚੜੇ ਹਜ਼ਾਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਏਤੇ ਚਾਨਣ ਹੋਂਦਿਆਂ, ਏਤੇ ਚਾਨਣ ਹੋਂਦਿਆਂ, ਗੁਰਬਿਨ ਕੋਰ ਅੰਧਾਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ, ਜਾਵਾਂ ਬਲਿਆਰ ਜੀ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਤੋਂ.
If hundreds of moons rise and thousands of suns, even then it is all darkness without the Master. I am sacrificing myself for my Master 100 times a day. May God bless us all.